Hi there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the A Minute to Midnight Show. This is Tony. I'm coming to you from New Zealand. And with me today, I have my friend and regular guest from Atlanta, Georgia, or thereabouts in the US, and that's Eric Stogner. So welcome back to the show, Eric.
Thank you so much, Tony. Good to see you and talk with you.
Yes, you too. I know you're suffering from a little bit of a cold or a flu type of thing at the moment, so we'll have to go easy on you. We won't get you yelling and shouting.
Yeah, like usual.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good to feel better. Yesterday, I really was going down like hour by hour. I just had worse symptoms. So it's great that I'm feeling better today and we're able to talk.
Yeah, that's good. So as usual, there's lots of things going on in the world. And a lot of those things are driving people into anger and frustration, and people, you know, you just see people's attitudes, the amount of crime that's happening, senseless crime, you know, a lot of it. And I guess Jesus warned us that the love of many would grow cold in the end days. And I think it's a temptation for all of us in some ways to become colder and harder, but we don't want to do that. So I know you've been giving this quite a bit of thought, so I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes as we prepare, like, well, what's happening topically, we often look to geopolitical things. What's happening in the world? What are some big movers and shakers doing that seem to line up with prophecy? But you know, I've been coming back lately, and I've sensed the Spirit kind of bringing me into that whole phrase of the love of many will grow cold. And then I kind of zero back in on just a few scripture passages that even talk about how, you know, the number one sign has always been deception. So I try and keep my eyes open for small things that say, are we being deceived? Are we being led into something? Like I remember when the whole COVID thing kicked off, of course we observed what was being said on the media, but I noticed like hanging from high in the rafters in the local grocery store, there were these signs that suddenly appeared very early that said, like, keep calm, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And I noted that little thing. And I thought, that's odd, because how did they produce those and distribute those and get them hung so quickly?
Yeah.
It's almost like they knew they needed these banners, and here they were ready to roll. So, yeah, I try and look for things that maybe other people, it's almost like fish in water. Is a fish really aware of their water? They're just swimming in it. They're breathing it. Things are happening, and they're probably not aware of it. So, yeah, I just sort of reflected on this past year. I know we're not at the end of the year. It's not December or anything, but just going back in the last 12 months, I realized, wow, personally, I feel like I have either been involved with or observed a lot of examples of what I would call the love of many growing cold. And so usually, you know, that passage, I like to, when I get a phrase that like just seems to stick in my head or the Spirit puts it there, so I try and look it up. Like, okay, where's that from? What's the context? And so I'll just read that whole passage out of Matthew 24. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's worth it because I think there's going to be so many discussion points that tee off of this. So it says, tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. So there we are. Deception is the very first thing out of his mouth. He says, for many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We talk about that right now. Obviously, there's all kinds of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now, that word kingdom is ethnos in the Greek, which actually means like people group will rise against people group. So I take that to mean it's not being repetitive. Nation is nation. That's a government, right? But kingdom and kingdom is like ethnic groups. There'll be ethnic strife. There'll be racial unrest. So they'll rise up against each other. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We do see that, right? There's earthquakes that have started first in Venezuela recently, and then they've moved over into Colombia. My wife's Colombian.
You know, to be honest, I've been following that Dutch since. I know just lately his channel on earthquakes, and he has been incredibly accurate forecasting earthquakes at the moment. Like within, you know, days, saying watch for a certain place, you're going to find an earthquake. here or thereabouts, and then two or three days later, and he'll tell you roughly the size, and he's been very accurate lately. I've had been watching his channel on and off for years, but, you know, I sort of haven't looked for a while, but gee, lately he's been bang on. And there are a lot of earthquakes, you know, at the moment, and, you know, I know it's not the subject, but people need to think about stuff like that. I mentioned previously about prepping and that type of thing, being ready for. And you and I, Eric, we were just going to start recording, and we had a power outage here.
Yes.
And it put us, and luckily the power was back within half an hour or so. But, you know, we were just about to record, and the power went down, and so I lost everything, you know, apart from my cell phone. And I know it's digressing, but yeah, just while you were on that earthquake's thought, and Jesus did say that we can expect that, so yeah. I'll throw it back.
But I don't follow earthquakes that often, but like you, occasionally there are channels that do talk about it, and there does seem to be an increase. And again, like I said, my wife's family's from Colombia. They know people who were injured in this last quake. It's a huge deal in Colombia. Yeah. And Venezuela, when they had their earthquakes not long ago, there were experts predicting it's going to happen in Colombia next. So here it is.
Yeah.
So, yes, there will be famines and earthquakes. And Lord knows, like, we could talk about the famines. I just go in my local grocery store and I see the price of things. I'm like, there's famine coming. Everything is going up in price.
And they're warning us of that too. And again, yeah, I did a cabin video about a week ago, Holly and I did, if people want to check it out. I was talking a bit about this type of stuff, the famines and food shortage and preparing and all of that type of thing. So you can find that on our channel. But I really think, Eric, that this is next year or so, we're going to see all sorts of food shortage problems and price increases, and the writing's on the wall for it.
Well, we've seen the groundwork laid for it, right? Yes. We've seen that there have been supply chain outages and all these things interrupt the food chain, so they don't normally show up instantly. It'll be next year's harvest will be weak, or there won't be someone to process this food, or they've sold that property that once was, weren't they selling off land in even New Zealand that used to be loaded with like peach trees and stuff and crop trees? I mean, an island nation doesn't need to be cutting off its own food supply.
No. New Zealand should be totally self-sufficient for food. We could, but big multinational corporations take over, and then they, in the interest of profit and probably in the interest of creating some sort of a famine that they're trying to, they shut things down here, and that's happening a lot, and it's a concern. And so people are going to get angry when their prices are up and their groceries shelves are empty and that type of thing too.
And like even the power outage, that's been one of the scenarios. You shut off power for a day or a week in a civilized area, people won't be civilized anymore. Suddenly, you know, their food has gone bad. You're without power. You're without all kinds of things within 24 to 48 to 36 hours, you know, or whatever.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider with that alone, which probably isn't the time and place to be going in, but just one thought is, I was talking to you about a generator, you know. People should have one, really, but then on the other side of that is if you're the only house in an area who's lit up like a Christmas tree and everyone else is down, you're going to be a target. So in one of those long, prolonged outages. So,
And even if you shut off your lights, most generators are pretty loud.
Yes.
Like the rest of the world will be pretty quiet. They're going to hear off in the distance, someone's they're running with something.
Yeah.
So back to the passage. Yeah. So everything I read, so it gets to in the middle of, this is Matthew 24 still. It says, and these are the beginning of birth pangs. So it's like all those things we just talked about, that's like the warm-up act. Now he's getting more into it. He says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Notice that, because of me, you will be hated. At the time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. In other words, they will turn on each other and betray them. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Here we go. Because of the increase of wickedness, sometimes translated lawlessness, in other words, not following God's laws, not just man's laws. Here it is. The love of most or the love of many will grow cold. And then there's at least a positive at the end. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Yeah. So, you know, we're often looking for, are we in those times? And to me, I feel like we're in that second tier of like, yes, people are starting to get persecuted. People are being arrested. I heard a report the other day in the UK that someone was denied insurance because they had stickers on the outside of their vehicle that were Christian stickers kind of thing. And we've heard other stories, of course, in the past of people, you know, just in a prayer posture outside, you know, in open air, and they get arrested for that. And quotes on the internet. So, yeah, we're getting into thought crime and hate speech. And it's related to, of course, you know, King Charles is no longer defender of the faith. He's defender of faiths.
Yeah.
So they're going to be more about policing people's speech. And, you know, it will, you'll be outlawed to speak about Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, when I heard that, like, the love of many are growing cold, this is what I almost want to challenge listeners. Look around you. Like, are you seeing what a lot of people are seeing? And I got a laundry list, a page and a half long, of examples just either from my own life in the last year or observations I've made. I see the love of many growing cold. And it's like the fish swimming in a fish tank that maybe hasn't been cleaned in a while. The water may be getting dirtier and dirtier, but that's all the fish knows. They probably don't even remember when the water was clean. And like, we don't remember when the air was clean. I look out and, you know, our weather has been horrific lately. We have had heat advisories for the last 2 weeks, and I don't know how anybody doesn't see this is not normal. I had a roofer come yesterday, and I made a comment. I thought, he's a roofer. This is your job, to do hard work outside, you know, in the heat. And I said, yeah, it's really hot. And he goes, well, it's Georgia in the summer. And I'm like, no, this is different. This isn't Georgia in the summer. I've been in Georgia for the last 40 years. I've never seen summers like this. And so it just astounded me that here's this guy who has a job outside.
Yeah.
He has brainwashed himself. Well, it's just summer. It's just Georgia. No, you've never felt sun burning like it is now. You've never had day after day after day of relentless heat advisory. So you just look around, and these clouds are, they're not normal clouds. They're not puffy clouds. Weather systems no longer roll in and roll out. They stay and they stay and they stay. And every day it's just cloudy and gray. But I'm digressing too. I was really, again, trying to point out, like, I've seen a lot of things happen that just really caused me to go, why are people so cold? And it's easy even for us that have been tracking things and COVID, you know, like, I get it. COVID did a number on people's psyche. Yeah. They stayed inside. They masked up. They masked up their face so that all you see is a talking, you know, set of eyes. And there's, you know, I think people literally untrained their facial muscles. So they, why smile? If I'm walking down the hallway in my supermarket, why smile when you can't see me? So that really shut people down. So that's my normal go-to. It's like, yeah, people are still post-COVID, something changed in their psyche, but it's deeper than that. There's just this culture of mistrust and you know, sometimes we talk about the effects of technology, right? Normally it's the obvious effects. Why are there so many cameras? Why are there so many data centers, right? But how about the effect beneath the surface? Like, what has this technology done to us as people, as humanity in general? It has really brought people apart. I remember when social media first came out, someone explained to me, like, yeah, that brings the far people closer and the near people farther. So you spend less time actually interacting with the people you're right at your own table, right at a restaurant, right in your own community. But you know something about some person random from your high school days that you really don't have anything in common with, but you can find them on Facebook. So I remember that in the early days, and I never did social media. I still haven't. I'm still running that experiment, but I've watched the effects it's had on the generations, and now the fish don't see how dirty the water really is or how dirty our air is. Everyone swims in this technology and they don't see how it's affected who they are as people. They're really turning, you know, the love of many has grown cold.
Yeah. I mean, and the introduction of AI into everything is just making it even more so that people using AI for things, and they don't need to relate to real people because they can use an AI to do it. And then soon you'll have Optimus robots and things like that doing your housework or whatever, and you won't have to interact with people then either. It's just will become more and more impersonalized. Or I saw something the other day about in China, a robot serving coffee. It makes the coffee and serves it, and it's going through masses in a day. It can do a lot, and it doesn't need to take a break. It doesn't have to have a lunch break and things like that. But, you know, I don't want to be served by a robot. But some people, it's still a novelty, so they want that. But sooner or later, it's not going to be a novelty anymore. It's going to be their daily reality.
Yes. Yes. So all these things, they seem so cool at first, too. Like, I remember I was on a cruise ship. It was actually the cruise when I went to New Zealand this past year. Yeah. And they had a robotic bar where there were two robot arms that would pick up glasses and bottles and make drinks for you. But I noticed the whole thing was shut down the whole time. And I thought either there's mechanical failure or all the other bartenders or all the other customers said, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to see it. But I watched an old video of those ships when they were built, and it was a new novelty, you know, back when they were built not that long ago. But yeah, I just look around and, you know, what has social media done to us? And it's so commonplace, I think we lose track of it. But why don't we just talk about cancel culture and ghosting? Like, that has become a norm in our world, that we have no tolerance for one another. The love of many keeps growing cold. And, you know, even amongst Christians or non-Christians, if you deviate from what I say, then I got to cancel you. That just the instant decision that I'm going to discard you. Like, you're not really valuable. Our relationship is so thin anyhow that it's really become a transactional thing or a surface level thing. So it's no big deal to discard or even just ghost people. Just quit speaking to people. And that's supposed to be a sign like, you know, I guess we're done. Like, I guess we're done. But it's such a vague sign. If someone doesn't want to talk to me, I'd appreciate a final call, honestly. Mm. Like, tell me, send me an email, something. What did I do? But I think even that expectation has been eroded. And it's just the cumulative effect of we're dealing with people on screens like you and I are right now. Yeah. And it's not as rich and real as in person, but at least you and I are real and we're talking. We're not AI generated.
Yeah.
There's a new term for a lot of videos, the AI generated. It's like video slop or YouTube slop or something. Mm. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's true. I can't stand listening to AI generated videos. There's a certain cadence. They never make a mistake. They never cough.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not human. And I don't even want to train my brain to get used to that.
Yes.
Because you almost get lulled into it. And, you know, we could do a whole show on, and we have, I think, done on the dangers of AI and how it's going to like train us. We're going to get so used to trusting it because it is helpful and it is right most of the time.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, we're going to have AI robots, we're going to relate to our AI chatbots and our companion bots. And before you know it, like, the AI is going to be better than a human being because it won't argue with you. It won't be upset with you. It'll just be your constant, you know, it'll repeat back to you. And what if it put us in? It's put us in an echo chamber.
Yeah.
And we already are divided people group against people group because people pull into their little tribes where their feed and the algorithm just feeds them more of whatever they were thinking. And then they don't want to hear anything else. You know, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to consider it because I've really outsourced all my thinking to this device, to this chatbot, you know. And so we just get stuck in echo chambers. It is not good for us as a society.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, just even thinking about it, as a musician, we're all this AI-generated music that, you know, people, I'm not interested in AI-generated music, to be quite frank. Let's have people that are real musicians making music and don't outsource it to somebody that doesn't even need to play an instrument, just needs to be able to operate at some sort of AI thing, you know, and create something. It's just another part of dehumanizing and taking away the need for people to have skills, you know. So,
yes. And so to kind of make it even more personal here, I don't want to turn this into a Dr. Phil show or anything, but the reason this stuff is getting my attention is I've noticed there's an epidemic of estrangement in families. And I did a little more research on it, and it turns out like 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 people are a member of a family where somebody is estranged, meaning they've gone no contact or gray rock or whatever with someone in their family. Yeah. And I actually was not new to that. I had been involved in some of that with a family member of mine for the last decade and a half. But I'm remarried. My wife has 2 kids. I have 2 kids. And so together we have 4. Well, one of our children has been estranged for 5 years, and another just went that route just a few months ago. And it's really caused me to dive into it. Like, what is this estrangement where we're not cohesive as a family anymore? We're not willing to work things out and talk. And honestly, it's again, the love of many is growing cold. And all those things in that first passage, I feel, are playing into it. The idea that if you're a follower of Christ, it's going to bring division. And so that in itself could be a point of division. That people group or the splinter groups that we're all a member of, our politics, our religion, our religious talk, all these things can be points of difference. And now in the world we live, where it's colder and harsher, a point of difference is grounds for cutting someone off. Even your own parents that have loved you and cared for you for all 2.5 decades of your whole life. So just blows my mind that's where we've come as a society, and we see it in our own families around us. Another thing, and here's another thing that happened this past year. I was a member of a church, and I watched the senior pastor get run out of town on a rail, basically, because he was bringing the gospel. He was teaching about the Holy Spirit. There were all kinds of agendas at work, and a small minority rose up against the pastor, trumped up reasons that he was no good, did a smear campaign, and it shows you only need like 10% of the people to tip the majority, and they did. They had connections, and they ran this guy out of town, and he was a great man. I mean, it was literally like watching the whole crucifixion scene or the scenes leading up to it play out. They held this man up and basically said, "We don't want him. We want change. Give us Barabbas." And they persecuted the good man of God. And I'm like, this is a Christian church, at least in name only.
Yeah.
And very few of us stood up and said, "This isn't right." And to watch the vast majority just sort of stuck their head in the sand and said, "Oh, I can't wait till this tension goes away." So you can get a small faction rise up. And where's all the good people? You know, there's a phrase, evil reigns when good men remain silent. Mm. And that's what struck me, like, wow, y'all are going to remain silent while this goes down in your church? Are you willing to stay affiliated with a church like this? So I'm churchless right now. That sent me packing because I didn't want any fellowship with any kind of body that would do that to its own pastor. And again, the love of many has grown cold.
Yeah, you see that sort of thing happening a lot, actually.
Yep. Here's another scripture passage. This is from 2 Timothy, and I call this kind of the list of the anti-beatitudes. It says here, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Are we not living in that? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I mean, that's a long laundry list of negative attributes.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm just saying, you know, it's like, that's how the love of many grows cold, is when they keep running up against those things. We get pulled into our little special interest groups. We're no longer living under like common grace. And can we not, you know, Jesus said, you know, or was it Jesus or Paul said, they will know you are mine by the way you love one another. When we can't even love our own family members and other people we're close to or love our pastor, like what is going on? And so my whole point being, this is a sign of the end times. And I'm, you know, we're not just making this up. This is what the Bible said would be signs of end times. So,
Yeah, that is a big long list. And when you think about it and you go through the list, it certainly does describe society as a whole now. I mean, it's always been there to some extent, but it's just increased, I think.
And I think the agenda we've all been forced through is like, this is happening slowly. This has been a slow roll to the point where now we're so far gone. In some ways, you know, what's that expression? You close the barn doors after all the horses are out.
Yeah.
We're talking about an issue that, frankly, all the horses are already left the barn. We're just looking back and saying, wow, horses have been escaping the barn for a long time. There's been a lot of things building up in our culture wars and our media to the point where, like, now, you know, I'll quickly go through some other categories that people might think on. Look at the relations between men and women. I mean, dating these days is crazy. People using these dating apps, and it just demoralizes almost everyone involved in them. I know plenty of very eligible, nice, good guys that cannot find a date or a potential mate to save their life. And it's the whole system has changed to where people are just so at each other and they're so judging. They swipe left, swipe right. You ever heard of a movement called MGTO?
No.
Stands for men going their own way. And it's sort of a response that people are having, like, I guess I'm not going to find the right kind of woman. I'm not going to date. The people have changed so much. I don't want in on this. So, I got examples of people who are so disrespectful to their parents. They start dating. You know, young people, I'm talking like in their early 20s, start dating, and the person they're dating convinces them to, part ways with their parents. I mean, I know a woman who was rescued as a baby from China from one of those, the one child policy in China. And so a lot of Americans did go, and oftentimes they're adopting girls because girls were less valuable, and maybe still are in that culture. Well, I mean, so this girl has been raised with all the benefits of an American lifestyle, and now she started dating a young man he has no respect for parents. No respect for what's been done, no gratitude. They're ungrateful. They're harsh. And like, it's tearing these parents apart. And I get it. It's just, it's mind blowing how people can turn against people. I guess that's my point.
Yes. And it is, like I've say, I see more of it increasing, and it's hard because people tend to be so self-focused now. And so everything revolves around, what can you do for me? How can you make my life feel better? How can you make me happy? What can I give to others, or what can I give to a partner, or what can I give to my family or friends? It's more like, what can I get from them? And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people are. And it's become, even on the dishonesty level, you know, it's like I drive around lately and I've seen cars, you know. I've never seen so many burnt out cars in the countryside. It's obvious that people are stealing them and then going for a joyride or whatever they're doing, and then just setting fire to the cars, you know. They don't care who they've hurt in the process. It's all about them. And, you know, that's always been around, but I've never seen so many as I've seen just in the last few weeks like that.
And that's my point. It's like, all these things we can say that's always been around. It has. But it's the epidemic of it that's going on. And like you say, selfishness. I mean, the term that gets thrown around a lot these days is narcissism.
Yeah.
And that's what narcissism is. It's just this extreme focus on self. And it does feel like an epidemic. I mean, frankly, there's too many psychological terms that are being thrown around in the internet. That's another thing that builds on. It's like throwing gasoline on the fire. There's enough YouTube videos. You can get YouTube smart on anything, right? And so if an adult child, for instance, is frustrated at their parent, it's very easy. And the algorithm will feed them all kinds of psychological terms through an untrained, the media talking to them, to where they suddenly think, I do need to divorce my parents or divorce, estranged from them because, this narcissism epidemic, the technology feeds it, you know, from the very beginning. From, hey, remember when there wasn't a such thing as a selfie? No one wasted valuable film back in the day taking multiple pictures of themselves. That was one of the first things that came out. Then you could enhance your selfie and post your selfie. So, yeah, it's all been I, me. It's had an effect, and it has made the love of many grow cold. You're right. Whether you're driving around the countryside, you see road rage on the road in the city and abandoned cars. I mean, it just seems like – and we talked earlier about the famine and the increase in prices and everything. As society breaks down and things get costly and life gets hard, that's not going to encourage community. It's going to encourage crime and looking out for yourself only.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I suppose I was just thinking there probably will be some people listening that have had terrible parents or parents that have really hurt them, and they're thinking, I can't have anything to do with them, or a child, if you're a parent and the child has done that to you. And so there is some justification. You know, I don't think we want to put down people that need to distance themselves from abusive people and abusive relationships and things like that. So, but I think that is the case with some, but there are a lot of others that it isn't like that. It's just for any and every reason kind of thing.
Well, exactly. And we kind of live that cancel culture also, you know, there's a whole layer of victimhood culture. There's a whole layer of, what's the term where, basically, you know, there's got to be an oppressed group and an oppressor group, you know, and so everyone's got to buy into this kind of woke approach to life that, you know, basically all it does is set us against one another. And so, yeah, I think there's obviously times where there is abuse and it's very justifiable. I've been estranged from my sister for 15 years, so I am not trying to, you know, be hypocritical and say estrangement is always bad. There's reasons. And I'm happy to, you know, I can debate and discuss those reasons, but, you know, it's just at the drop of a hat now. It's that, wow, the love of many have grown so cold that we will dispense and discard people so easily. And, you know, Jesus said, we need to love people. Mm-hmm. And I heard a really good show just this morning talking about the difference, the similarities between grace and mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. You get given something that you really didn't earn, but it's a free gift. But there's mercy. Mercy is actually withholding something negative that you might deserve. You do deserve, but I'm going to show mercy on you. So in a sense, these hard-hearted traits of people, it's like, I won't even show mercy anymore on you. Like if, you know, it's just so eager to fall, get angry at people. And I even watch it in myself. I've caught myself in the last month, like, wow, Eric, you need to back down. And I've had to write an apology email to a stranger who I got angry at, and I was over the top in my reaction. I'm like, wow, Eric, check your own self. You know, is your love, you know, growing cold? So, it's all around us. And one last scripture passage here, Romans 1:29-30. It says they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they disobey their parents. So it just describes the human condition that, excuse me, these things have always been around, but now we're seeing the increase in it, almost like the all the things we were told through other prophetic language, right? That there would be an increase in the final days, almost like a tachometer speeding up. There would be this revving up towards the end of the day. So whether it's the frequency of earthquakes or weather anomalies, we're just seeing an increase. And I'm just taking it back to the human level, where we live and work and interact with people, like notice that too. And on the upside, you know, God says, you know, those who overcome, you know, there is a good ending here. And we can make a difference. We can make a difference in our own communities and try and be the person who isn't these things. Try and be meek. And meek doesn't mean weak. It just means I'm humble and willing to meet you where you are. And let's focus on what we have in common and hopefully our common trust in the Lord. That, you know, that's where our hope is found. And let's not argue about unnecessary things to argue over.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess we need to also be prepared to share the gospel with people and our hope and our faith. And sometimes it's hard. You don't feel like doing that either, you know, but we yep. should. We have to use wisdom with that too, because you can, you don't want to throw your pearls before swine kind of thing either. But, you know, but there are occasions when we need to be able to do that.
And I honestly think that the Lord allows things to get worse at the end. It's actually one more act of mercy, because why would that be merciful, to allow things to get worse? Well, the reason they're getting worse is that people have bought into the idea. You talk about estrangement being a problem amongst people. One of the things it's taught me is that, wow, I really understand better what the Lord must feel like when people reject the Lord. They estrange themselves from the Lord. And what's the Lord trying to do? I'm just trying to be a good parent. I'm just trying to give you the words of life. I set before you blessings and curses, life and death. Choose life that you may live. So this whole idea of estrangement, that's what the Lord feels all the time, all over the world, by people who turn their back on him. So having said that, why do people turn their back? Well, they just don't trust him. They figure the world's got better answers. You know, I don't need the Lord in my life. Like, you know, that's someone else's opiate for the masses. That was good a long time ago. It doesn't apply now. All these things people might say. Well, I think the mercy in letting things go off the rails is that it's the one thing that might drive people back to the Lord at the last minute. You know, last minute conversions, deathbed conversions, these are all okay. You're still in, you know? So I think in some ways, allowing things to get worse should show people, like, do you want the ways of the world or do you want the ways of the Lord? Like, maybe it's time to really take this seriously and investigate it, because this is the way of life and this is the way of the world, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket. So choose now, choose this day who you want to serve. I think that's the mercy of it. Things are going to get worse so that whosoever might wake up does wake up.
Yes. Two different things came to my mind then, you know, as you were just speaking and thinking about myself and thinking how easy it is at times, you know, God's ways and his things that he's asking and his standards, just they just seem really hard. And so we want to default to something that's easier, you know, and not do it at times. And it's very easy to kind of push God away in those situations. And the second thing is, you know, just talking about deathbed conversions or that type of thing, it's like just a little example. Yesterday I went to pick Holly up. She was at the library. She went to the library to just because she likes to do that study there and things like that. But anyway, she got talking to an old man who was in his 80s. And when I picked her up, the man had gone. He was over at a hotel, you know, down the street. And then, but Holly had shared the gospel with him, and she said, "Oh, you know, she said to him that, you know, she'd like him to meet me, and you know, and he said, oh, he'd really like that." And he was not a Christian. He was a New Zealander, but he lives in Canada. But he'd been here in New Zealand just for a few weeks again to sort some business out, and I just felt irritated. I didn't want to do it, you know. It's like, oh, I can't be bothered. And in the end, I did, you know. I went over and we ended up sitting with this guy, and he was really happy that we did, that we come over and talk to him. And, you know, I don't know, I tried sharing a bit of the gospel and things, and he was one of those, well, he just believes in, you know, being good to people, and he's old school, but he doesn't really have a faith as such, you know. And so I don't know. We ended up talking about pickup trucks and all sorts of other things, but, you know, I don't know when we shared the gospel with him whether it makes any difference or not. You know, it's up to God whether we tried to say something and sow some seed. And for me, that was hard. Holly does it naturally, easy. For me, I don't. You know, I find that difficult. But in the end, you know, I guess being obedient and doing that when God tells us to speak to somebody, then it's up to God whether there's fruit that comes from it in that man's life or not, or in our own lives because we're obedient, you know. So I guess that's probably all I would want to say on things. I haven't really got a lot more else
to share. I totally relate to you. I almost like, you know, can't you research this on your own? And but I have a friend who is a little bit like Holly. It sounds like he, no matter where we go out, he is talking up and converting people left and right. And I'm just like, can we just have lunch? You know, but yeah. He's constantly on evangelism mode. And I do get it though. Like I almost say, I want to be like my friend Jim when I grow up, because he really has no problem whatsoever talking with someone. And it's amazing how at least he makes a connection very easily. So that's his personality type. Maybe we're not all blessed to do the same things, but yeah, I think we may have more opportunities. What's that passage in Peter where it says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within you, right? Yeah. So in the sense, we are ready. It's just we do want people to ask, and maybe they will. You know, by the way you love one another, people will know you're a Christian, and hopefully they will come up to you and ask. So like you, I struggle with the same thing. Like, I feel like I got my agenda. Do I really want to be interrupted? And I'm trying to shift to like, no, yeah, this isn't an interruption. This could be the most important thing of the day. So, okay, let's talk, you know. But it is so much easier to talk to like those that are hungry and thirsty. In fact, this might be a good thing to end on. So there, you know, there's good news. Do you by chance, I don't know if you remember, there was the whole ad campaign for Dos Equis beer. It's been a while now, but it was this older gentleman who would drink a beer, and he was billed as the most interesting man in the world. Do you ever remember that?
No, I haven't seen that.
I loved it. In fact, you can Google it. It's very funny because now there's been like spoofs of it, like the most interesting man in the world. And all these, I'm not a great joke teller, but they're just funny, funny lines. But anyhow, the whole point was he would end every ad with, stay thirsty, my friends, you know, and he's obviously selling this one brand of beer. But the whole thing, he had this mystique about him, like he is the most interesting man in the world, right? And I thought, actually, Jesus is the most interesting man in the world, or, you know, was when he walked the earth and still is. And so I don't like AI very much, but I'm going to show you something here. I just had made up and I had it framed. You ready?
Yep.
Check out this right here. It's an AI generated image, but it's Jesus in a bar consorting with the everyday people.
Yeah.
And at the end it says, stay thirsty, my friends, which I love that because, you know, what is that showing? Like it says we are supposed to always hunger and thirst for righteousness, right?
Yeah.
And the woman at the well, you know, she was drawing water. And what did Jesus say to her? You know, you're drawing water and you're going to be thirsty again. But if you seek me, I will give you water that you will never be thirst again. So I love that idea. Yeah, I came up with that. Like, you know, I had a poster made of it. Like, there we go. Stay thirsty, my friends. This is the most interesting man in the world. And he will quench our thirst.
Yeah, that is interesting, very much. And I guess when I see that, I was thinking, for me, you know, I used to play music in pubs and bars and that. That was what I did for a long time. So I spent a lot of time in those places, and I don't really feel like going in there. It's like the last place I feel like going is into a hotel with a bar, you know. But so to have to do that last night and, you know, and sit and talking to an old guy while he was having a beer and I just had an orange drink, but, you know, and Holly, it was a challenge for me because it was like going back to old territory in a way, but for a different reason. And then, you know, that's where you meet these people. That's the reality of their lives. And so it was a challenge for me, and I still got to process and think, what's God trying to show me with it all? But, you know, I don't very often end, but I reckon we should just end this show by just a prayer, I think. Just pray briefly for the listeners and maybe for ourselves too. Lord, we just give you this. You've heard this conversation. You know the people that are hurting, that will be listening to this, people with whatever issues and difficulties they have in their lives, or we have in our lives, you know, because we all do. I pray that you would be with us, Lord, and help us to be strong and to grow, and that our love wouldn't grow cold, but that we would stay warm, because you're the source of our love and you are the source of our life. And I thank you for that, Lord. And so I just pray for the listeners that are struggling, that you be with them and help them and encourage them. And those that don't know you that may be listening, I pray that they would seek out and find you and have a real encounter with you, and that you would bring us back to real encounters with you as well if we're dry. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Oh, amen, amen. Great way to end it, Tony. Thank you, as always. Just a different angle on what we're always watching for. How do we survive these end days, and what should we be focusing on while we look around us and notice what's happening?
Amen. Well, cheers, Eric. Thanks. I really enjoyed it. It's always great having our conversations, so thank you.
Same here. Have a good one.
Cheers. And folks, please remember to subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com, and please like and share this video. It's always much appreciated. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. We're much appreciated to the people that do help us. And if anyone does want to donate to us, you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another show in a few days' time.